Thank you for that introduction. Almost kind of feels like church here with everyone kind of sitting in the back.
Yeah, you want something to come down in front. They're supposed to encourage you to do that, but I know it never does any good anyway.
But the important thing is you're here. So for corn, soybean, and wheat, we're really interested in concerned with two different fusarium pathogens. The first one being fusarium graminearum, which is the causal agent of ear and stalk rot on corn. Or you may know it better as gibberella ear and stalk rot, which is the sexual stage of this pathogen. All right, thank you. It also causes fusarium head blight or head scab on wheat and other small grains. And about 10 years ago, it is also shown to cause seedling decay on soybean. The second species we're pretty concerned with is Fusarium virgiliforme, and this is the causal agent of sudden death syndrome on soybean. So for managing diseases, typically our common methods are crop rotation, tillage, genetic resistance, and fungicide use. And on the Fusarium side, these different practices have been looked at pretty in depth. However, we have kind of a lack of information regarding combinations of these practices. So we implemented a study to kind of address some of these questions, and we had two very different objectives. The first one was to use a lab technique known as qPCR to quantify the effect of crop rotation, variety rotation, and fungicide use on the Fusarium species populations within the soil, and then also quantify the effect of those practices on corn, soybean, and wheat yield. And for today, we're just going to focus on that second objective. So to help us do this, research was conducted for 3 years, from 2010 to 2012, at the Arlington Ag Research Station near Arlington, Wisconsin. And the data was collected from a long-term corn, soybean, wheat rotation study, which was established in 2002. The experimental design was a split plot randomized complete block with three replications. The main plots consisted of 14 crop rotation sequences, and those are located in the table on the right. And those 14 sequences represent each phase of seven different crop rotations. So here we have our continuous corn, soybean, and wheat. We have a corn, soybean rotation, corn, soy, wheat rotation, corn, wheat, soy, and a corn, wheat, soy rotation that was used to mimic more of a livestock operation system in which the corn was harvested as silage and the wheat straw was removed. So for the subplot and sub-subplot treatments, those were established in 2010. And for the subplots, it consisted of two different varieties, one having relative resistance and the other having relative susceptibility to the major fusarium-causing diseases for each of those crops, and those were arranged in four different variety rotations. So we have continuous resistance, continuous susceptibility, 2 years of resistant followed by a year of susceptibility, and 2 years of susceptibility followed by a year of resistance. For the sub-subplot treatments, we had two fungicide treatments, use of a fungicide versus no fungicide, and fungicide use was different for each crop. For the corn, we applied pyroxystrobin at V5. For the soybean, we used flutioxanil C treatment. And for the wheat, we used Prosaro, which is a premix of tebuconazole and propioconazole. And that was applied at heading but prior to flowering. Our subplots were 3 meters by 9 meters. For the corn and soybean, these were both 4 rows spaced 76 centimeters apart. And for the wheat, it consisted of 16 rows spaced 19 centimeters apart. And seeding rates and fertilizers and herbicides were all applied according to UW best management recommendations. For the statistical analyses, we did a mixed model, ANOVA, using PROC-GLIMIX and SAS. And models were constructed individually for each crop. We also split corn into corn grain and corn silage. In addition to the management practices being considered fixed effect, year was also considered a fixed effect. And these effects were tested for significance at the 10% level, and means were separated using fisheries protected LSD. For the continuous wheat, this was excluded from the analysis because in the first two out of the 3 years of the study, we had very extremely low yields. In other words, it's basically zero yield, so that was excluded from the analysis. And for the wheat, unfortunately, going into establishment for the 2012 season, the rotation of the resistant to the susceptible and the susceptible to the resistant, that switch was not made. So we couldn't look at those four different rotations. Instead, we were just going to be looking at the the resistant rotation, resistant variety versus the susceptible variety. So here I've given you basically all the results in one table. I know this is quite a bit to digest, but I'm just going to go through each crop individually and just only highlight some of the key findings, because we don't have a whole lot of time, which I wish we did, and just talk about this a little bit more. So I'm going to start with corn grain, and we're first going to look at crop rotation, and this is across all 3 years. And the corn, soybean, wheat rotation yielded higher than the three other rotations. We did see a crop rotation by fungicide use interaction. However, this interaction was primarily driven by crop rotation. If you look within each crop rotation, fungicide use did not increase yield. And looking at the effect of fungicide use alone, we did not see a yield response from using fungicide for the corn grain. So for the corn grain conclusions, crop rotation was the driving factor. Our variety rotation results were mixed, and what I mean by that was looking at the resistance versus the susceptibility. One didn't really trump the other. And we think this could be partially the result of two different things. Both varieties probably had a similar yield potential. And also, over the course of this experiment, we had a very low amount of fusarium-related disease. And also, fungicide use did not increase yield. Again, this could probably be due to the low amount of disease we observed, and also potentially due to our early application timing. For the corn silage, we only had one significant management practice, and that was variety rotation and the continuous susceptible, and the 2 years of susceptible followed by the resistant yielded higher than the other two rotations. This is looking at it across all 3 years. So for corn silage, we did not identify any interactions, and unfortunately we couldn't look at the effect of crop rotation because corn silage was only part of one rotation. The susceptible variety just appears to have a higher yield potential in terms of corn silage. And again, this might be due to the low amount of disease that we observe. And we did not see an increase in fungicide use. Moving on to the soybean. Again, I'm going to start with just looking at the crop rotation across all 3 years. And the crop rotations which contained the wheat, those yielded the highest compared to our corn-soybean rotation, also our continuous soybean rotation. For the variety rotation, the continuous resistant rotation yielded highest compared to the other three rotations across all 3 years. We also did observe a crop rotation by variety rotation interaction. Again, the crop rotation was a driving factor in that interaction, but that continuous resistant rotation was always at the top within each crop rotation. Here we have a crop rotation by fungicide use interaction, and again, this is a kind of a busy graph, but when we dive into looking at each of the crop rotations, we only had two significant differences. For the livestock rotation, we did see an increase in yield from using fungicide, and actually in the continuous soybean rotation, we actually saw a decrease in yield. And just looking at fungicide use alone across all 3 years, we did see a yield response. However, that response was only about 1%, so it was a pretty small response. So for soybean conclusions, again, crop rotation was a driving factor. We had those highest yields were observed in the crop rotations that contained wheat. So again, that corn-soybean wheat rotation was at the top. A resistant variety appeared to have a higher yield potential, and this was in the absence of any SDS foliar symptoms. We did not see any SDS during the course of this experiment. However, going back to the first objective that I mentioned, we did identify that the pathogen was out in the field, but it was at very low levels. And we did see a yield increase from fungicide use, but that response was only about 1%. So finally, getting into wheat, here again, I'm starting out with crop rotation, looking at it across all 3 years. The corn, soybean, wheat rotation was again yielded higher compared to the other rotations. We did find a crop rotation by variety rotation interaction, and actually, when you look into each of these rotations, the continued susceptible rotation yielded higher than that resistant rotation. And when we looked at just the effect of the variety itself, the susceptible variety did much better than the resistant one. Before I get into looking at this graph here, I want to mention the fungicide, looking at fungicide use alone, the response to fungicide use in wheat was variable. It was different by years. So we saw a significant increase in yield in 2010 and 2012, but not 2010 and 2012, but not in 2011. Even though we had a pretty good amount of head blight in 2011, and just the disease pressure across those 3 years, 2010 and 2011, we had a pretty good amount of head scab, but in 2012 we had a pretty low amount, and this was due to very hot and dry conditions that we had around the flowering timing. So getting back to this graph here, I really like this graph because it actually played out to what the way you would hypothesize, which sometimes a lot of times doesn't happen. But just looking at this variety rotation by fungicide use for the resistant variety, we did not see that added benefit from applying the fungicide. However, when we got into the susceptible variety, we did see increased yield from using the fungicide. So for the wheat conclusions, the crop rotation and variety rotation were the driving factors. Again, the highest yields were in that corn, soybean, wheat crop rotation, and that susceptible variety had a very high yield potential. And I actually went back and looked at some of our variety trial data, and that variety was in it, and it was always at the top. So it was just a very, very good variety. Again, response to fungicide use was variable, and also looking back to that previous graph, this stresses the importance of just knowing your variety selection, or more importantly, knowing the susceptibility of your variety to head blight. So our overall conclusions, the interactions among the management strategies were not consistent across all three crops. However, one thing that was similar between all three was the corn, soybean, wheat crop rotation was consistently the highest yielding rotation. Choosing the variety with the higher yield potential was more important than the relative resistance or susceptibility and the variety rotation. And on the corn and soybean side, I mean, this could be due to the low amount of and no amount of fusarium-related disease that we observed. But I think it was illustrated pretty well with the wheat data that the effect of just choosing the better variety can have, whether or not it was resistant or just susceptible to the disease. And also, a response to fungicide use was variable among the crops. And so, you know, in order to warrant foliar application of fungicide, we still need to be using and promoting our IPM principles and getting out there and scouting and seeing when diseases are at threshold. So before I stop, I'd like to acknowledge the other co-authors on this, Drs. Sean Conley, Joe Lauer, Jean-Michel Inay, and Paul Isker. I'd also like to thank all the individuals in Dr. Conley's and Dr. Lauer's programs for their help with conducting this research. A special thanks to the Wisconsin Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, and the UW College of Ag and Life Sciences for funding this research. And with that, if there's any time for questions, I'd be more than happy to entertain any.